So hopefully you've all picked up that we're spending this term from September until Christmas unpacking our refreshed vision together as a church. Refreshing the vision has been just one of the things that we've been working on, and I'll say more about that in just a minute. But I just want to take the opportunity at the start to give you a quick general update on some of the other things that we have been and are currently working on together as a leadership team. This is one of the things we're currently giving some attention to, is bringing greater clarity to our roles within the team and the overall leadership structure. So I think we've mentioned this before to you, but we are nearing the conclusion of that process, and we'll have something more to communicate with you soon on that. You hope you've seen our decision by way of email on Friday regarding our Sunday gathering, time and location. As you said in the email, we wanted to be where God wants us to be. And part of that discernment process for us as leaders is to hear from you and how you felt, along, of course, with what you sensed that God was saying. Having digested the feedback and in prayer, you will have seen that we've taken the decision to stay at the URC for the time being, but we, of course, remain open to God providing something different. And I won't go into more detail on the data, because you can read that in the email that we've sent. But I do just want to say it's not a pragmatic decision. It is a decision based on the feedback and the need, yes, but we believe we are where God wants us to be for now. And you know, we're excited by the opportunities that being at the top of town, with people coming in, the community passing by, seeing, hearing, looking in, coming in. We are excited by that opportunity, and we're excited to see what God wants to do with us while we're here and in this place. And alongside that feedback, we also asked for responses relating to the purchase of the land in Winglebury. And again, we hope to have some more communication to you out in the next week or two on that. We've also started reviewing small groups and small group provision in the church. We believe connection is essential, and relationships are building in that way is essential in the church for our life together. And so we've begun some conversations. We'll be giving small groups our attention over the next few weeks. And again, we'll update you on that as soon as we can. And of course, we have completed the work on our vision, which is no small task. I think there were kind of like maybe, I don't know, 12 or 13 versions of the vision, but we got there. And it is an important one for us as a church to have got to that place and for helping us move forward together. And we're really grateful for your contributions to that refreshing of our vision. It has been shaped by the church family. And of course, we trust it is also the work of the Spirit and inspiration of the Spirit as well. So that's just a brief update for you that I just wanted to bring right at the start of how the things we are working on as a leadership team, in addition to the kind of normal day-to-day activities of the church life. And you'll hear more updates from us soon. But if you have any questions, do come and speak to one of us as well. So, great, thank you. So last week, Phil launched our series for this term, in which we're unpacking and exploring our refreshed vision together. I think Phil had a couple of issues in the end with his PowerPoint, so wasn't able to give an overview of the vision. So again, we'll take the opportunity to have a quick look over our vision as a whole. Hopefully you will have seen or got your hands on this A5 sheet with our vision on it. Last Sunday, we had it available last Sunday. But if not, there are a few more today out in the foyer there. Claire's nodding. Thank you. That's great. So do pick up one of those before you go. But I will just run through it quickly now so we have the elements on the screen for you to have a quick look at. And as I do, and in the coming days and in the weeks, as you reflect on this and listen to our unpacking of this vision, can we invite you to ask yourselves some questions? Which part or aspects of the vision excite me? What parts am I passionate about? Which parts or aspects of the vision play to the gifts and the skills that God has given me? Maybe ask God where he might want you to serve, to help the church, and or where might he want you to grow and develop in? As we've said before, this is about all of us. And if we're going to see the fruit from our purpose, our mission, and our emphases, then it will take all of us contributing to it. If it's not easy or if it takes some time, then that's okay. If you've got some passions and skills that you feel God has put on your heart, but not quite sure where or how they fit, that's okay too. We'd love a conversation with you. There is room for God to expand our vision. So that's the invitation. Let's have a brief look through our vision. So our purpose. So this is the big picture and sits within God's ultimate vision. So our purpose is to be a welcoming, diverse church family, introducing people to Jesus and seeing lives transformed. And Phil unpacked much of that last week. Our mission. This is a start to bring some definition to who is involved, where, and something of our approach. So our mission is, as a family on mission in Basingstoke and beyond, we seek to create a culture of welcome by all and for all. We seek to proclaim Jesus and follow in his ways. We seek to see lives transformed by the power of Jesus and devote ourselves to prayer. I've just circled that one. That's the one we're focusing on today. Creating a culture of welcome by all and for all. And I'll get to that in just a minute. We then have our emphases. So these are some of the key areas which we believe the Spirit is speaking to us about this season. These are not the only areas we are and will be working into. They are not also sort of timeless. They are simply trying to acknowledge where we feel together as a church God is and has been speaking, and where we may wish to direct resource for this year, for this season, however long that period is. So we prayerfully consider areas for growth in the light of our shared purpose and mission. In this season, we are seeking to sow to four specific areas. It's family, children, youth, prayer, and the international community. And underneath each of those is something about, well, what do we think this means? Again, it's not an exhaustive list. Just trying to give it some more definition, some substance, and what we kind of think that might involve. And so family, it's about sharing life. We think it's about sharing life together. We think it might involve eating together. Yes. Food. We think it involves fun. Okay. We think it involves that everyone feels a sense of belonging. Everyone belongs. That's what it means to be family. For children and youth, we think it means investing in young children and families. It means cross-generational connection, and we've started a bit of that with our mentoring program, with some of us mentoring some of the young people. We want to see that continue and grow. Discipleship, disciple and equip our young people. Don't Rhoda and the youth workers and children do a brilliant job at that, but we just want to see that continue. I want to see reaching out across the town. It is, of course, absolutely important to provide good provision for our children and young people in the church. Absolutely, we want to do that. But we want to go beyond that as well. And to see children, families, and young people coming to faith in Jesus. Amen? Prayer as a church together. We think praying together is important. We think through ministry, devotionally, and absolutely upholding all we do together. Prayer is essential to upholding all that we do together as a church, in our life together. And the international community, we want to exercise hospitality and welcome. We think it means serving in practical ways. We think it means discipleship pathways. And what we mean by that is, how do we take people on a journey to faith, starting where they're at? What might their journey look like? And everyone's journey will be different, but we think we need to be thinking about that. And that will be different for different people from different places and nations. And so we just need to think that's really important to us. And also Alpha in diverse languages. Alpha's been a great tool for us as a church, and it is a great tool anyway, isn't it? But just trying to think, as we're trying to reach the international community, is there an opportunity to do Alpha in a different language, in different languages? So those are kind of some of the things that we think, as part of our key emphasis of what that looks like. And those are the four key areas that we call our emphasis that we'll be focusing on and giving resource to. So that's a quick overview of our vision document. We are unpacking it this term, as I said, and Phil started that last week with looking at the purpose, and I'm coming on to looking at that first aspect or first statement in our mission this week. So, and yes, and I'll be looking at, as a family on mission in Basic and Beyond, we seek to create a culture of welcome by all and for all. So I'm just entitling today's creating a culture of welcome for all and by all. So what I share this afternoon here with us is part of the mosaic, part of the picture of what cultivating a culture of welcome for all and by all may look like. We and I have some thoughts and some perspective, but it's only a part. You will likely have something to contribute to forming what welcome looks like in this community. Especially, I would imagine, those who have a heart for people and hospitality. No doubt we all think welcome is important, but perhaps for some of us we carry a God-given passion or a burden on our hearts to express welcome and hospitality in and through the church. And as we go about being a family on mission in this town of Basingstoke and beyond, whether that might be in India or Brazil, or even just our workplaces, our desire in God is that people feel the gracious welcome of Jesus, first and foremost, into the kingdom of God, and secondly, into this family called Hub Community Church. I want to tell you a story of a young orphan from Peru. After disaster struck his home and his family, he was sent by his aunt to England as a stowaway on a ship. Don't give it away. After arriving a refugee in a foreign country with nothing but a suitcase and a note, he lands up in London, homeless, without friends and family. He is ignored by almost everyone he meets until he attracts the attention of a middle-class family on a station platform. Oh, you got it pretty quick. The family, called the Browns, show compassion on the young homeless orphan, first by feeding him and then by welcoming him into their home and giving him clothes. Young orphan is well-mannered and kind-hearted, yet he always seems to be innocently getting into trouble, though he always tried to make things right. Still, the Brown family took a risk and welcomed the homeless refugee into their home. They loved and cared, and this young orphan became part of their family. A remarkable welcome. We'll return to this story a little later. Hopefully someone doesn't know what the story is, but there we go, I'm sure. But first, we turn again to Acts 2, where we are drawing inspiration and unpacking our vision from this term. We had the whole of the chapter read out last Sunday, which was great. Thank you, Vicky, for reading that out. And Phil drew from different parts of that chapter throughout his message. But today, we're focusing on Acts 2, 6 to 12. It's a familiar story to us, isn't it? But let's again very briefly remind ourselves and set the scene. In Acts 1, we have a kind of resurrection appearance of Jesus before his disciples. Jesus tells his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the Spirit to come, and this is then followed by Jesus' ascension. Disciples are in the upper room in Jerusalem waiting. And then, as Phil mentioned last week, we enter into Acts 2, and we have this suddenly moment. Do you remember that, Phil, saying that? It's like suddenly. This suddenly moment, and the Spirit comes, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they begin speaking in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. And let's read on together. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they ask, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthian, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Christians and Arabs, we hear them all declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? So what do these verses, Acts 2, tell us about welcome, you may be asking? These verses in Acts 2 may not be about welcome per se. However, these verses do describe the nature of the church the Spirit is shaping. And I think there are two important things from this text that should inspire and shape our welcome as a community. The first thing to take notice of is that, like the ministry of Jesus, the work of the Spirit draws the crowds and draws attention. The Spirit breathed something in that early community of Jesus followers in Jerusalem. And as many speak in the tongues of different native languages, it commands the attention of those from across the known world. The Spirit moves. People take notice. Something happens. I want to believe that if the Spirit is birthing something in us, and he's doing something in us, that he will draw people's attention to the things of God taking place in this community, and they will be drawn to his church. Just as the Spirit birthed the early church, our desire, our hope, our belief, and our asking of God is that he would continue to birth something in and through us together by his Spirit. We have four emphases that we believe the Spirit of God has given to us this season. And as we sow to and give ourselves to these things, along with our mission and purpose, the mission and purpose that God has given us, we trust that God would draw to us those he wants to. And when he does, what sort of welcome do we want people to experience? And secondly, from this text, in drawing the crowds from across the known world under the lordship of Christ, the Spirit moves the church into multicultural diversity. A new, unified people of God, so that the kingdom of God would grow and flourish and that the nations would be blessed and hear the good news of Jesus. Perhaps this is to be seen as an undoing of God confusing the languages at Babel in Genesis and a movement towards the blessing of the nations given to Abraham. The speaking of tongues in multiple local native languages is much deeper than an isolated event or an experience. It is very cool and extraordinary, but it's much more than that. Reverend Dr. Dean Pinter, I think, gets down into something of the heart of what's going on here when he suggests this. The way we know that the Spirit has filled a person and a community is not that they have a new experience, but that they have a new identity that leads them to a new attitude towards others. The other is no longer a person who has a different language, a different nationality, a different ethnicity. The other is my brother or sister. I love that. The other is my brother or sister. That should change a few things for us and how we see people and view people. In light of these verses in Acts 2, let's now dig a little deeper into unpacking what creating a culture of welcome for all and by all looks like. So where do we want to be in terms of our welcome? Firstly, drawing from our statement, it's about creating a culture of welcome. Of course, there are probably a few nuances to this, but essentially, culture is how we do things around here and expresses something of what we or you value. We therefore want welcome to be ingrained in the fabric of who we are and what we do, something we do well and often. Secondly, we'd love this culture of welcome to be adopted and practiced by us all, each one of us. We may play different roles, and some of us may have more strength than others in this area. That's fine. But may we all take ownership to ensure that everyone receives a good welcome. Thirdly and finally, we believe this culture of welcome by all of us should be for all. Over my years of working for the church, we went through a period of holding our annual retreats at Dewey Abbey near Reading. Anyone been there? No? Okay. The Abbey is home to Benedictine monks, and to this day they follow one of Benedict's rules that guests should be welcomed as Christ. That, of course, seems a rather simple, but perhaps it's both profound and challenging. What would you do if Jesus walked in this building, came through those front doors? How would you behave? What would you say? And of course, when we think about welcome, our first thought goes to guests and visitors, and perhaps rightly so. But I also think this extends to one another, our brothers and sisters here in Christ. Let's welcome all as if they were Christ. Let's give people the welcome of God. Just take a moment to imagine what that could be like and how that might make you feel. If we were able to get hold of and express something of the welcome of God to one another and those who came through our doors. I don't know about you, but I want people to feel loved. I want people to feel accepted. I want people to feel safe. I want people to feel noticed, cared for, wanted, and needed. That they know they are valued here in this family. It won't be easy. People are messy. I'm messy. But the welcome of God is for all, just as Christ welcomes all of us. Ultimately, the dream, at least for me, the picture in our minds has got to be the picture in Revelation 7 of people from every nation, tribe, and language standing before the throne of God together. And to see heaven on earth reality of that future vision in the present now, today. Will we see the fulfillment of that in its fullness? Maybe not. But that, for me, is the dream. That this family, this community, might be amongst the present-day first fruits of that glorious future reality. Where image bearers of the one true God from all nations and tribes of all ages and classes, ethnicities are together as one equal. How we get there is perhaps down to what our welcome looks like. But it's also a work of the Spirit, just as we saw from our verses in Acts 2. And that gets us to considering why. Why is welcome important? Because I think it creates an environment of love, belonging, of transformation, and flourishing in God. Little earlier on, I told the story of a young orphan refugee who came from Peru and was welcomed into the home of the Brown family. In case you hadn't quite realized who this story is about, I probably should have mentioned that the orphan is actually from deepest, darkest Peru. He wears a red hat, a blue coat, oh, and he loves marmalade sandwiches. Yes, that's right. It's a story of Paddington Bear. And if you don't know the story of Paddington Bear, it's a lot of fun. There's loads of books, and there's a great couple of films out, so do have a look at those. Here we go. There we go. But why tell the story of Paddington Bear? Well, for two reasons. One, I think it helpfully illustrates the kindness of strangers. To offer someone in need a warm welcome and hospitality. May we be like the Brown family. Secondly, as Alistair Fuller in his article Paddington, Welcome and Transformation puts it and illustrates so well, the heart of the Paddington story isn't about the welcome he receives, but about the transformation he brings. Into every life he touches, he brings wisdom, warmth, love, and the adventure of the unexpected. He doesn't just have much to learn, he also has much to impart. And everyone around him is, in some way, transformed by his being with them. Isn't that powerful? I believe it. I think that's true. Obviously, when considering welcome, there are important and good questions to ask around what can we give people? Or what do they need? But also think that the welcome of Jesus means also being open to what our guests, what our visitors, and each other bring with them into this family. The story of Paddington teaches us that welcome and transformation go hand in hand. You may have noticed that in our vision document, we emphasize family throughout and have as two of our key emphases for this season, the international community and children youth. Can I suggest that if we lean in and seek to grow in our welcome of both one another and guests to our community, when we welcome the stranger, the widow, the refugee, that we might find we grow in our connectedness and relationships together. We might find we go deeper together as a community. I think belonging, connectedness, and relationships are key. And I wonder if they start with welcome. If we grow in our welcome, and as we respond to the Spirit's leading and work, then my feeling is we'll grow in our connectedness together and sense of family. We'll feel like this is a real place of belonging, and I trust we'll be transformed in the process. So I've shared a little bit of our mosaic of welcome. Remember that picture of mosaic? And I've shared a little of why we want this. But to finish, I want to touch on the how can we do it. Before sharing some ideas of how we can see a culture of welcome by all and for all, I want to say three very quick things. First of all, let's acknowledge none of us are perfect. We'll make mistakes and we won't always get it right. Hopefully, we'll get to a place of doing a really good job with our welcome. But let's take the pressure off now and just say we'll make mistakes. And secondly, let's be honest about who we are as individuals and recognize that some of us are really good with people. We love being with people. We draw energy from people. And others of us may struggle with initiating conversations. Part of this is just who we are. And it's important to play to our strengths of our character, the strengths of our characters and our gifts and who God has made us to be. However, thirdly, we believe the welcome of God is to be expressed by all of us, not just the welcome team or Sundays or whoever's leading the meeting at the front, at the start. Small things can make a big difference to people, whether that's a friendly hello or a smile across the aisle, across the room, an invitation for coffee to your home. And as I share some of these ideas, or as you maybe reflect on this message today, perhaps ask God what small step forward into being more welcoming does he want you to take? So what are some of the things that we can do? And please remember, these are just thoughts and contributions to the mosaic of welcome that we are wanting to create together. So most likely, there will be some better ideas than I will express this afternoon. Almost certainly, there will be. I would also add, I think there is an overlap between welcome and hospitality. I don't think these are exclusive, and we should see significant overlap. So, some practical ideas. If there's someone at one of our gatherings you don't know, and some of you'll know this stuff, but I'm just rehearsing again, just some of the ideas, some things that we can think about and consider together. Yeah, if we see someone visiting, someone we maybe don't know in the congregation, why not just go over and say hello? It's good to see you. My name is. I know it's not always easy. I always really struggle with that, you know, and I've had to come a long way of growing in that. It still doesn't come easy to me, but I think it just growing and learning to do that well. Be mindful of those in our church family who may seem on the fringe and make an effort to engage. Send them a message. Invite them for coffee or a meal. Likewise, be mindful of people who are on their own. You'd be surprised how lonely a crowded space can be when you are on your own. Why not save a seat or just keep a lookout for someone who you don't know, who you know comes on their own, or a new person or a family who've started to attend, and invite them to sit with you. I don't know about you, but I find it easy to gravitate towards the people I know well. But why not have a go at speaking with someone or going for coffee with some people that you don't know well? I know of several instances where this has happened in the last few months, and there have been really meaningful times for those that have done it, and there's a richness to that. It's about inviting people into our lives. Another suggestion which me and Emma have been challenged by as a family, and hey, we have our own limitations of what we can and can't do just in the season we're in, but we've really tried over the recent months just to invite various people for coffee and pastries at our house on Saturday mornings, and trying to have a mix of people, not necessarily just people that we would easily gravitate towards, but actually different people, maybe people we don't know so well. And that's been a really rich time for us. It's been really fun. It's really good just to chat with people that we maybe don't know quite as well. And I hope people have enjoyed it when they've been with us too. But why not ask God to put one or two people in your heart to pray for each week and send them an encouraging WhatsApp or text message? Finally, just one last idea. Phil touched on this last week, and we recognize that when people from different nations and cultures come together, there are some hurdles to overcome, whether it be language or cultural practices. Let's try jumping those hurdles, shall we? Let's ask questions and try to understand. Let's accommodate and let's celebrate the rich tapestry of cultures that are in our community. Those are just a few ideas. And it goes much deeper as well. But I think sometimes it's just even the small things create those connections and those open doors to perhaps begin to share life together and begin a journey of walking together and that welcome and hospitality that we've been talking about. So, and obviously we need to act sensitively, don't we? We know this. But probably someone who's new to the church who turns up probably doesn't need a queue of 20 people queuing up ready to, we know that. But I think in all this, it's about sensitivity to people, isn't it, as well? So, and as I said a few minutes ago, no doubt you have some better ideas than these. But yeah, as I said, just some things to be thinking about and contemplating. But I'd love to just finish then by praying God's anointing to be upon us in this area. I'd love us to respond as a church. As I said, this is about creating a culture of welcome by all of us. And so I'd love us to respond together as church, and perhaps we could just all stand if we're able to. If you can't, that's absolutely fine. I would rather not, that's absolutely fine. But this, just open our hands to receive the Spirit's touch. But as well as that, I guess I just want to give the opportunity for those for whom welcome and hospitality are a passion of yours, or something that you love to do, or something you just even like to go deeper into, would like to grow in God. And I would actually just like you to come to the front. And we'd just love to, some of us, or anyone who's available, just come and lay hands and just pray for them as well. Because I think there is something about that gift of, we talk about many of the gifts, don't we? But I think hospitality is a gift. Welcome can be a gift. And I know there are a good number of you in this community, and maybe many of you who really carry that heart and carry that gift. And we'd love to see you go deeper in that. We'd love to for all of us to grow in that. But we'd love to just pray God's anointing on you as well in that. So I'm going to just begin to pray. But if you do want to come up, then once I've done that on behalf of all of us, then we can just pray for you as well. So. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus, we begin by acknowledging the welcome that you give to each one of us. The welcome into your kingdom, into your family. That God, you know us intimately and deeply, that you love us, that you care for us, just as we are. And Jesus, our heart is that we would have that culture of welcome in this church. Lord, that it would be in the fabric of all that we do, all that we are, that we would be known as a welcoming church. And that, Lord, you'd help each one of us to carry something of that welcome, that you'd help each one of us to grow in that welcome of others. Yes, the guests, but also our brothers and sisters here today. That, God, people would feel welcome, that they feel like they belong here. They feel safe amongst us. Jesus, would you help us do it? It's a spirit we ask that you come and would you anoint us for that role, for that task? Spirit, would you give us boldness? Would you give us creativity of thought in terms of how we do that? But Spirit, would you create that community in this church, we pray, and that culture? Spirit, would you do that work, we ask? And prod us, Jesus, prod us, Spirit, poke us and challenge us to grow in that area, we pray. Lord, I want to give thanks for the welcome that already takes place, the good welcome that already takes place, for the hospitality that is offered throughout this church community. I want to give thanks for people who carry that heart. God, would you bless them, we pray. And Lord God, where there's people, specific people that we need to just show an increase or a better welcome to, would you point this? Would you put those people on our hearts, we pray? And God, may we have more guests. May we have more visitors come through that door that we get to exercise the welcome of God to. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.